This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, listen, today we're going to continue our summer series of having guest speakers. Having guest speakers gives me an opportunity to learn from people in our church. It also gives me an opportunity to rest, and I deeply appreciate it. And gives me an opportunity to give people opportunities to exercise their gifts that the Lord has given them. So our very own Eric Rodriguez, let's give him a nice hand.
Hey, good morning. I'm just going to open us in prayer real quick. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, for this amazing time of worship that we had, our time of fellowship that also allowed us to just show our love for you as we just love those around us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to be here today. I thank you, Lord, that I am not here by my own strength, Lord, but by yours and by the community that's been praying and preparing for this day, Father God. And I just ask, Lord, that I may decrease, that you may increase, Lord, and that whatever is said may be to glorify you, Lord Jesus, because it's about you, Father God. I thank you so much. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so today's message has kind of been brewing in my heart for a while now. I've kind of been in this season of this past year, and if I had to put a title to it, it would be this season of speaking life. And a couple months ago, I was asked to share at FCA, at the school I used to work at, and that I was able to share kind of a little bit on this, but it was about 5 minutes before like school started in the morning. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a 5 minute sermon today, if that's what you were hoping for. I'm very sorry. 15, maybe? I don't know. We'll see. I usually talk too much. I'm already rambling. And then interesting enough, when I picked this date to share, about 2 weeks later, I was signed up for youth group. And when Mason sends me the lessons for that Sunday, it was right in line with what I'm speaking about today. So the Lord has just been really awesome that way. And I'm by no stretch of the imagination do I think that I'm going to say anything new. Everything's been shared before, but I do hope that we allow the Lord to maybe give us a fresh revelation of something, even if it's something that we've heard before. So speaking life. So before I get into the book of James, let's talk a little bit about James. So in the book of James, there's this overall theme where he's encouraging these what they believe to be Jewish Christians to be doers of the word, not just hearers. And we know that James is the leader of the Jerusalem church. That's mentioned in Acts 15. And we know that James is the brother of Jesus. And in chapter 3 specifically, he's addressing this issue of dissension amongst the church, most likely coming from slander, right? So people speaking against each other, and that's bringing division and dissension amongst the church, which I feel like is something we've seen throughout history, right? So if you look at James 3, I think over there I put starting at verse 1, but we're actually going to start at verse 3. It says, if we put bits into the mouths of the horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So in James, he's really kind of setting the foundation for how important our words are, right? For how important the power of the tongue. And if we go into Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So I've been challenged by this because I feel like there has been moments in my life, especially in these last, let's say, 6 to 7 months in 2023, where the call on my life has been to speak life. I'm saying life a lot. Someone keep track of it. Michael Williams isn't here. To speak life. And when we look at Proverbs 18, and it talks about how death and life are in the power of the tongue, I feel as though, as believers, we've done a really good job of emphasizing the death part. And let me explain. So my kids, since they were 5, 4, right, they would immediately, you know, we would say, you know, you're not using nice words. Emmett, of course, because Emmett is our rule follower, and he's our safety patrol. He keeps everyone in line. He'd be like, "Solara, the tongue is like a two-edged sword," right? So even from a young age, we have this understanding, right, of the power of the tongue. But I feel like we really focus more so on the destructive part of it. Right, we do our best to not gossip. We do our best to not slander. We do our best to, maybe not use inappropriate words or jokes or things like that, which is very important. I'm not saying that that is not important. We need to have those guardrails in our lives. But I've been challenged by some thinkers that I listen to, because those guardrails in our lives are not to restrict us. But in actuality, those guardrails are meant to give us more freedom and to live life more fully and to experience the goodness of God, more greatly. I don't know if that worked, but I think it did. So as we continue in our walk with Christ, and as we've done a good job of setting those boundaries, setting those guardrails, I think the next step for us is to really focus, right, on the life-giving part of our words, on the life-giving part of our tongue. Because just as destructive as it can be, that same power, right, is also wielded for good. We look at scripture, right, and in the book of Genesis, when God begins to create the universe, he's speaking it into existence. I think there's a lot of ways that could have happened, right? But with his words, he's speaking life into existence. So then the question becomes, what does that look like? And I thought I had animations and things, but apparently it didn't transfer over because I didn't want to put it all out there at once. But I've been challenged by this even recently. A couple months ago, it was like in April. Some of you might know I talked about it a lot. I had this nerdy getaway with my friends. We went fishing and played 4-hour board games, and it was awesome. Everybody in the group, they're believers, they serve in their church, they're good, godly men. And there's one day we're out at the beach and we're trying to cast nets, which is very difficult. People who have to do that for a living, I'm very, very impressed. And it was just a beautiful day. I was surrounded by God's creation with beautiful people. And I took a second, and I was like, man, guys, like, this is a beautiful day. The weather's good. The water's beautiful. You guys are awesome. I just feel very blessed. And I stopped. And then, like, almost everybody in unison was like, "But?" And I was like, "No, there is no but," right? Like, there was almost this expectation of I said something good to just soften the blow for maybe something that's going to be negative, or, you know, but, you know, we could be in air conditioning or something like that. So it almost feels like at times there can be awkwardness, right, when we try to bring words of encouragement or we try to speak life into situations. So I want to take a look at, I think there's a lot of different ways that we could speak life. I chose kind of four things that have really been speaking to me and that I hope challenge you. So in this next slide, it says, we speak life when we, and there's four things that I'm going to kind of try and work through. We share the gospel, we encourage one another, we repent and forgive, and the last one that's recently kind of got to me this past week is when we lament. So we speak life when we share the gospel, right? When we share that with those around us, that we were sinners in need of a savior, right? That from the garden, from since we fell in the garden, God already put a plan in motion to redeem us, right? He had planned to bring, to send his only son to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins. So we speak life when we share the gospel. But I also want to encourage you that we share the gospel when we share our lives. Because as believers in Christ, as we've been redeemed, as we've been forgiven, our lives become an example of the saving grace of the gospel. I think of, and he's not here today, but I think he said he was watching. I think of Shane Pollard. They've been coming to our fellowship for a while now, the Pollard family. We're so blessed by them. We meet right here for our small groups. And I'm so blessed by Shane because he's not afraid to share what the Lord has done in his life. If you've been a part of that group, you know that he'll be the first one to tell you, yeah, before God, I was not a good person. This, and this. But then he doesn't just stop there. He then talks about what God has done in his life since then. And I believe that when he's doing that, he's sharing the gospel. He's sharing an example in his own life about how he was a sinner who's been saved by grace. So Shane, I was hoping you were here to encourage you, but Shane, we just love you, blessed by you and your family. We share life when we encourage one another. This reminds me of Paul in 1 Timothy 4:12, which is kind of like the rallying verse for all youth groups, which I love. When Paul is telling Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, right? And I can identify with this because I'm young. I'm 32, I'll be 33 this year, but I also look like I'm 18, right? So a lot of times there's this self-doubt, right? Of where, you know, what can I say? There's a lot that goes on. Even with my new job, those thoughts have kind of creeped in, but the Lord has been good in encouragement. And I think of how Paul was probably speaking to something very specific in the life of Timothy, right? And Paul took that moment to encourage him and speak life so that he can then set an example, right, in the teaching and how he lives. This reminds me of our very own Jeff back there. You call him Jeff, I call him Jefe. I knew that was gonna make you nod your head, I'm sorry. But Jeff, I just wanna say thank you so much. You know, that time at the men's retreat, when you sat down and thank you to graciously share wisdom while you were whooping us at Domino's. It was a humbling experience. But since that time and every Sunday after that, the Lord has just given you wisdom to speak into my life and to encourage me in those moments where maybe I felt like I couldn't say something or do something. And there was that one time too, you're like, don't forget. You have authority in Christ. All right, I thought you were gonna forget there for a second. And that's been such a blessing to me. You have spoken life into me, Jeff, and I just want to say thank you so much for that. In the process of encouragement, right, we encourage each other when we remind each other who we are in Christ. I think of Jude. I love in the book of Jude that Jude starts off by saying, those who are called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus. And Jude is speaking that over those that are reading this, right? He's reminding them who they are in Christ. And we encourage each other when we remind each other who we are in Christ. We encourage each other when we remind each other who we are in Christ. And church, I just, as I was going through this, I felt just the need to speak that over you. To let you know that you are called. You are loved in God the Father and you are kept for Jesus. And if you haven't heard that in a while, I pray that encourages you today. We encourage each other and we speak life when we pray for each other. I was so blessed that Pastor Mario took the time to give us the opportunity to pray for each other. That speaks wonders for Christ in us. That does wonders for our brothers and sisters that maybe might be going through something. So we speak life when we encourage each other. We speak life when we repent and forgive. In James 5:16, he says, when we confess our sins, it brings healing. So when we confess our sins to one another, right? Healing is bringing new life. So there's this challenge, right? This theme of be doers, not just hearers, where part of being doers is repenting and confessing. In Ephesians 4, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So when we extend forgiveness, we're modeling the forgiveness that God has given us. And we know that forgiveness that God has given us new life. So in the process of repentance, in the process of forgiveness, we are speaking life into our brothers and sisters who are made in the image of Christ. In March, we went to the beach. We went to 30A and we were there for a week. And I'm embarrassed to say that there was one day where the story I put here, beach tantrum story. Emily Elise knows what I'm talking about. No, it was not one of my children. It was me. I had a tantrum at the beach. You understand? Okay. I appreciate that. I feel seen. Thank you. So we were at the beach. It was like right around lunchtime. There was no plans for lunch in sight. I think the closest we were to having lunch was maybe 40 minutes to an hour, and I was just not having it. And for lack of better words, I had a tantrum. I snapped at my lease. I made my sister-in-law feel bad. It was not a good look. And from the walk to the from the beach to the trolley, we'd take the trolley to then go to the restaurant, I just felt really convicted and embarrassed about what happened. And I'm sitting and we're sitting in the trolley and we're getting ready to go. And I just turned to Melise and I was like, Melise, I am so sorry. There was like no reason for that to happen. There's no excuse. You know, I don't know if I used the word tantrum, but I'm pretty sure I said like that was just an immature way for me to handle that. And I'm sorry for disrespecting you. And Melise, being filled with the Holy Spirit, she was just so gracious and kind and forgiving and also agreeing, yeah, you did have a tantrum and it was embarrassing. But what really struck me was our trolley driver. I didn't know she was listening. She was like, oh my gosh. That was so refreshing, you know, to hear that. And you know, I didn't do that to impress anyone or anything like that. But in that moment, I feel like it blessed her, right? It maybe spoke life to something in her life that maybe she hasn't seen. And it even gave me an opportunity to just say, yeah, it's because God is good and my wife is patient. That's why I was able to do that. So that repentance and forgiveness gives us an opportunity to speak life. Because Melise also could have just, she was disrespected in front of our family. She could have just taken that opportunity to maybe not forgive me or maybe snap back. But by showing that forgiveness, she also spoke life into that situation. And this last one that I haven't had too much time to unpack, but this past week when we were at the lake house, I was reading this book, and the author, Jamar Tisby, he's talking about lament and the need for lament. So in Jamar Tisby, in his book, How to Fight Racism, he says, when we express lament through song, it has a way of lifting the soul out of despair. He goes on to say, singing songs of lamentation turns our mourning into music and creates art out of anguish. So his challenge there, he's speaking to the church and how we worship. And as I'm thinking about this, I think that when we create space for lament, we allow opportunities for the Lord to bring beauty from ashes. And a lot of times we don't want to lament, right? We want to put that to the side. We just want to talk about the joy and the victory, even when we're not feeling it. Sometimes, especially when we're not feeling it. And I understand that there's a place for that. But when we look at scripture, when we look at the Psalms, when we look at the book of Lamentations, there's a purpose for lament. I remember being like 16 or 17, and my family were going through something really difficult, and I was in a dark place. And just to be sensitive, we don't have like super young kids, but in my life, I would say that was probably the only time that I really considered like physically hurting myself because of the state that I was in. And for my millennials out there, I was on AIM, AOL Instant Messenger. And the most stressful part about AIM was having a good away message so that people, you know, they would judge you by that. And I had a friend of mine, Mauricio, who his away message was a psalm. And it was talking about how the Lord, you know, David is saying, the Lord lifted me out of the pit of despair. He set my feet on solid ground. And when I read that lament through that away message, there was this feeling of being seen, right? King David in that moment had put words to my pain that at 16, 17, I couldn't. And there was new life that was breathed into me because of the vulnerability of King David to be able to lament. And if you read through the Psalms, there's also Psalms of joy, and there's Psalms of happiness and victory, but we can't skip over those moments for lament. All right, even just now, right, when Connor hit me with the fist bump, right, for the tantrum, I when I said I felt seen, I wasn't joking, right? There was this comfort of feeling seen, that you understand me, right? We've been there together. I got a text from a friend a couple days ago. He's going through his process of healing and unpacking a lot of things, and he's reading this book, and the book just word for word described what he had been going through and his own kind of negative self-talk. And he was like, it was a breath of hope to see that I'm not alone, to see that not only has someone gone through what I'm going through, but they've gotten to the other side. So originally when I shared this, I didn't have lament as a way of speaking life into those around us. But after reading that book, I think it's so important, right, that as a church, we embrace those seasons of lament so that we can allow the Lord to make something new. And because we also never know, as the Lord puts words to our pain, there's a very good chance that that's going to be a blessing to someone else without you even knowing it. So this is hard, right? We need to change our mentality. We need to, we've done a good job of focusing on the destructive parts of the tongue, and we continue to do that. But now the charge is, as believers, right, we need to, and I say this in the kind of last slide, as followers of Christ, we have been given life in abundance. And because of this, we should speak life in abundance, right? To not be like the Christians that James was speaking to, that they were being known for their division and their slander. And that could very easily happen. I thank the Lord that that's not happening here at Mosaic, right? But if we open up the lens, we could see how there's been division happening in other places. So even more so, because we've been given life in abundance, we need to first of all, here, this needs to be a place in the church, the body of Christ. It needs to be a place where it's not awkward, where it's not uncomfortable, where if someone, you know, gives us a word of encouragement, we don't just cringe. Oh, what, why? And we feel this need, like, oh, I got to say something back. No, it's they're speaking life into you. It's okay. Accept it. Right? To when the Lord puts something on our heart to share with somebody else, to encourage them, that we walk in obedience in doing so. I'm so blessed by Miss Rosa, usually sits over here, right? She often comes to the front, and that's not just something that happens on Sunday, right? That's been years of being in the presence of God and walking in obedience that allows her to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking to her. And then she walks in obedience to share that with us, to speak life, to breathe life into us as a church, right? That we may, this, our culture, our community may be marked by that. It may be marked how we encourage each other, how we pray for each other, how we lament with each other, how we share the gospel, how we share our lives. But that's going to be hard, right? We need to create habits. I was very blessed by, Micah's not here. I think he's at church. He's at home. But we were at the lake house, and all of a sudden his phone is vibrating, and I look, and it was a reminder to pray. Right? And we do that all the time. Right? I mean, these have a reminder for medicine, and we, you know, people have reminders for other things, for to wake up and go to work. We might need to remind ourselves and train ourselves to begin to encourage each other. Right? Sometimes when I'm driving, right, I pass by the Hagen's house almost every day going to work. Right? I try to pray for them. And if I'm praying for them, I try to let them know, man, I'm praying for you guys. How can I pray for you? And it's not about, man, I'm praying for you. I'm so awesome and holy, right? I hope that's an encouragement to them, because I've been in Christopher Williams, Dr. Christopher, when he tells you he's praying for you, he is on his knees. He is praying. He might be fasting depending on situation, but he is praying for you. And he's shared that with me. And that has been such an encouragement to me. So I want to be able to share that with somebody else. We might need to create traditions. Our family has a birthday tradition where we go around and we share words of encouragement. And at first, it started off a little awkward and we had to push through it. But now we look forward to it a week in advance. We're thinking about how can we bless each other. One of the most important things I think we need is to be in relationship. You know, it goes without being said, church, we need to be in relationship with Christ. But then we need to be in relationship with others. We don't need to be on a platform to encourage each other, to speak life into each other's lives. Usually it's in those more intimate relational moments that the most life-giving conversations and time happens. But if we don't take the time to be in relationship, then we might miss out on those opportunities. I remember being in the car, we took our daughters on a field trip, Daniel and I. Thankfully, he drove, because I don't like driving. We went to the Mariana Caverns, and we just got to talk. And I got to learn about his life, and he got to tell me about just how the Lord has been so faithful. And that was an encouragement that breathed life into me. But that happened in those moments of relationship. I got a call for my new job, and we had been praying about it. And we said, Lord, if they come in at this number, we're accepting it. And then I got the phone call, and guess what? They came in at the exact number we had been praying for. And I was like, oh, but I don't know. You know, is this the right decision? And Michael Williams, he was in the room when I got the phone call. And because we were being in, because we have been in relationship and in deep, meaningful friendship, when I got the call, he said, I'm staying. And I'm going to hear what's going on. And he actually found out before Maylise. I'm sorry. But because of that, in that moment, the Lord used him. And he said, listen, man, I know that finances are important, but I really feel like you have a unique opportunity here. The Lord is blessing you with a unique opportunity here. Think about it. Pray about it. And being in that relationship gave him that opportunity to speak life. So as followers of Christ, we have been given life in abundance. And because of this, we should speak life in abundance. So, band, you can come up. Sorry I didn't tell you beforehand. I wanted to, you know, we had an opportunity to ask for prayer. And that's important, right? We need to pray for each other. But as I wrap up, I think I did 20 minutes, not too bad. As we wrap up, I want to give us an opportunity to speak life. And I feel that maybe it's somebody here. Maybe the Lord's going to put someone on your heart that you need to call or text. But I'm praying that the Lord is going to give us opportunities to speak life into those around us. When we can share the gospel, when we can repent and forgive. And I've seen this firsthand. When you go to work and you go to school, if you can model repentance and forgiveness, that will speak volumes. Probably better than your best like theological discussion or debate. If you can model what it is to, in humility, repent and ask for forgiveness, you will speak life to where you are. Whether it's at home, at church, at school, in your jobs. That we may speak life into our children. A lot of times I get so caught up in the do's and don'ts that I forget to just encourage them and love them and appreciate them for who they are. That we may speak life into our spouses. I learned really early on in my marriage that it was very easy for me to point out things that I didn't like. But it took me more time to train myself to be a husband that would speak life into Melise, that would encourage her, that would remind her of who she is in Christ. So I pray that we've been given this gift of new life and that we may not just hoard it for ourselves, but we may find ways to share it with those around us. I'm going to pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this time together, Father. As we maybe sing one more song, Lord, I pray that you may fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, Father God. Like we sang in that last song, the Holy Spirit, fill me again and again and again and again, Father. And we pray right now, Lord, that you may fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can share your life in abundance, Father God. Lord, if you place a word on our heart for our brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that we may courageously, even if it goes against our personality, if it goes against everything in our body, Lord, that we may courageously and in humility walk in obedience, Father God. We may be able to put our arms around each other and just speak life, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that you may just put specific people in our hearts and in our minds, Lord Jesus. Maybe they're here, maybe they're at home, maybe they're in another part of the world, Father God. But begin to place them in our hearts, Lord Jesus, and stir us, Father God, to speak life into them, Lord Jesus. Just how you speak life into us, Father God, how you breathe life into existence, how you breathe life into Adam, Lord, that you may allow us, Lord, to breathe that life into those around us, Father God. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.